Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel, Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron and I am here with Tom and Dom on another wonderful Sunday morning, just before Christmas. So happy holidays to all of you out there. We're back with episode 6 of Jump Point. Now, most definitely the most controversial show in the Inner Sphere and Clan Space as well, from what I'm told. So, want to talk about today? We're going to talk about some of our accomplishments in 2023. We're going to talk about some things we're going to be doing in 2024. We've got some excellent segments. Tom, your favorite Trivia Tech, and your other favorite, the Render Blender. So all sorts of good stuff lined up today. But first and foremost, I want to start with a little patron Q&A, guys. And I'll tell you why. Because everything we do here is 100% due to our patrons. So thank you again to all of our great patrons out there. You guys are keeping the lights on. You're keeping us excited about what we're doing. You're feeding us new ideas. So thanks to all of our wonderful patrons out there. So this question comes in from one of our veteran patrons, Weiss Draconis. We talk quite a bit on Discord. He has some great ideas, always building new forces, always like he loves min-maxing his force list. He's a tinkerer. That's a great way to describe it. So he was asking this question about land air mechs, and everyone knows how I feel about them, but since it's Christmas time, I figured I would address it. He says, do you think land air mechs actually have a place in a strategic battle plan if one were able to make them more viable in combat? And so I'll come at this from a lore perspective. Forget the rules. Transformers don't make sense in Battletech to me. All right. The sheer complexity of a battle mech is so high. I can't imagine also having it transform and be able to fly away. But, you know, then again, it is science fiction. But if they were part of the Battletech universe, I actually think they would be the only thing on the battlefield. Everything would be a land air mech. Why wouldn't you? I mean, unless they were extremely cost prohibitive. Right?
Yeah,
but like, I mean, I feel like they would be so good, like strafing runs, you're in trouble, you and fly away just like they did in the cartoon.
Well, but think about converting into rules, you'd have issues. Like, you're very vulnerable taking off, right?
Right.
And then your performance, you know, a heavier mech would be super slow. You'd have to be quite, there'd probably be a cap, right? Like a medium mech maybe, and then you're...
I don't know. What's the biggest lamb, like the cannon,
that's a
like
really
cannon
good question.
Lambs?
I thought the Crusader was a lamb. The Stinger gets one, right?
Oh, wow.
And the Phoenix Hawk gets one.
Right. Stinger, Wasp, Phoenix Hawk. I thought the Crusader at some point was a lamb too.
Right. You could be right. That'd be a 65
ton. Okay. Yeah,
you ready for these? I'm looking through some. So Star League era, we got the Stinger, the Wasp, and the Phoenix Hawk.
Okay.
So the Shadow Hawk was a 55 ton variant lamb.
Okay.
So that's where they're at. And then Clan Jade, my favorite. Of course they did. They had a dual cockpit lamb. developed off of the Phoenix Hawk. I know. And then Word of Blake, of course, they had. It was called the Yurei, the Puaka, and the Waneta.
What does that even mean? They just put letters together to make mech names.
Yeah.
But the trade-offs would be big. There are none above 55 ton. Is that what you're saying to us, Tom?
Yeah, that seems to be...
Is it a Shadowhawk you said?
There was a Shadowhawk lamb? I didn't know that.
That was the progenitor of all of them, apparently.
The progenitor, yeah, okay. Interesting.
I don't know how to say that word. Don't correct me.
I didn't. It's progenitor.
Be careful.
He's got the wand!
I brought it.
This
I
is
would
Tom's
say that,
like red flag thing. Like when we cross the line, the wizard's like wand goes up.
But I was going to say the first thing I think of when I think of lambs are those V-22 Ospreys that the U.S. Army uses. Yeah. If you know, they're the vertical takeoff where the rotors go up. They are apparently very accident prone.
Interesting.
They fail a lot. Apparently.
Oh yeah, you know what? I did know that.
I don't know if it's gotten better, but their army's also moving more towards them. I think they bought even more of them.
It would be very unpatriotic of me at this juncture, not to mention the Harrier jump jet. as well, which is
That's interesting. I didn't think about. Well, and the F-35 has the Marine version is a vertical takeoff too, with this awesome fan. The whole top opens. That's really funny. I didn't think about. I was thinking only of the Osprey, but yeah, that's a great. Those planes are amazing, and they can like land and yeah.
But they don't have legs, Tom, and they don't transform into robots.
No.
I mean, you're pretty close.
That would be stupid, Aaron. That would be so stupid.
That would be. We need an aircraft carrier that transforms into a bunch of tiny robots that can fly.
The Harrier should land onto like a tank platform and then drive around.
Like a Voltron.
Yeah.
Somebody has tried that in the military somewhere.
That's really funny.
Has got that on a drawing board somewhere.
Definitely. Yeah.
I was going to say, like, Sarna made the point that the trade-offs you get for lambs is just that they're very susceptible to damage, right? You have to make them lighter to make them aerospace capable, and therefore you're giving up a lot of survivability. So,
yeah.
You know, but I mean, yeah, if you could, like, jump them in, land them, and just, I mean, but then, I don't know. Then we get into drones. Like, why not just drones?
Why not just drones? Yeah. All right, so let's jump into our ready room roundtable. All right, so first I want to talk about some of the stats from the channel. All right, so we pumped out 62 videos, not too bad, and plus 2 live streams. We had about 500,000 views, a little over that now, and 100,000 hours, give or take, of watched content. It's a lot of time, Tom, that your face is on somebody's TV. Think about that.
I was going to say, and I don't know if it counts, but you guys traveled to one convention, right?
That's true. One convention.
First time ever.
Yeah.
In the history of the channel, yeah.
Unless
PAX counts. But
PAX maybe could count. I don't know.
Okay, we'll count.
But it was the first travel, DFA business travel. So our top videos, guys. All right, so there are two ways you can rank top videos, both in views and in hours, okay? So the top video by views was How to Play Alpha Strike from several years ago. That's still trending as the top video. The second one was the Mercenaries Kickstarter pre-launch. That one was the second most viewed. By hours, the Federated Suns versus Calderon Protectorate campaign that we did. That is by hours. The part one of that is it was the number one 2023 video. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Nice.
Good video.
And that's not adjusted. That's just raw hours too. That was dropped somewhere in the middle of the year too. So if you adjusted that over 12 months, it'd be doing very well.
Wow.
That was sadly not the one where you had like Sylvester Stallone and Jason Statham and all the action heroes.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite. I think that was part three. That was an excellent one.
Jet Li, I think, was in there. Yeah.
And then the other top video
was just like,
it was
so
really good
too.
Yeah,
I love that.
That was a very fun campaign. If you guys haven't watched that campaign, you should go back and watch. It was Alpha Strike, I believe, right?
Rivers and cities. It's kind of like a Chicago or a Cincinnati kind of layout,
right, with the river. That was fun. What do you think the number two video is in terms of hours, Tom?
In terms of hours,
How to Play Alpha Strike. How about that? How to Play Alpha Strike.
I was going to say the RPG. But...
Yeah, nope.
Nope.
How to Play Alpha Strike, guys. So some other fun facts. Music streamed. We have 4,000 streams on Spotify and about 450,000 listens on YouTube.
Nice.
There's also, of course, all these other platforms that I can't get analytics on. Like, even iTunes,
Apple.
You can't really get good analytics on. But, Amazon, like streaming, right? No idea how many streams there are. And because it pays like fractions of a penny per stream, I did not feel like doing that math. So still a lot of good engagement on the music front. Do you know what sucked? Our merch sales. You know how many items we sold in 2023?
4.
22 items, Tom.
That's way better than I thought it would be, considering.
That's probably mostly me buying hats.
Can I also? Does that include the 3 items that I got for this?
Probably. Well, was that in 2023? That might have been 2022. But
cool.
So we got to do better on
FY23.
Yeah, we got to do better on the merch front. I have some ideas on that. So let's get into the discussion portion of the Ready Room roundtable here. So based on these metrics, and Tom, I want to start with you, and then we're going to go to Dom, because I know
this is the state of the union, right?
Yeah, this is going to trigger you, Tom. Okay. So prepare yourself. Is Alpha Strike the way forward in 2024 based on the fact that the How to Play Alpha Strike video was basically the most popular in terms of views and hours? Your thoughts?
No. I don't know why you keep bringing it up. Not interested. Not interested. Zero. Yeah. No, I can't see a reason to go back to it when Override is so good. Like, I just really like it. And
it's true.
I think we landed somewhere that, like, yeah, well, I think we landed in a place where, like, we can get through games quickly enough, but also we don't keep saying, oh man, really wish we could play like Classic, right?
Right.
Which was what we kept, as soon as we were like three or four games into like an alpha run, we'd be like, you would be texting me in the middle of the night, like, what do you think about Classic? And like,
you do. It does. Yeah, I will admit, like, when you play Alpha Strike enough times in a row, it starts to feel the same. It gets a little homogenous. Like, you know, it's just it's pips and numbers. That's all it is pips and numbers, right? And you're kind of playing this optimization game, and it really doesn't matter what plastic's on the table because they're really not that different.
Like, if I was going to a game store, I'd probably play Alpha and not Override. Mm. Well, sure. It was like, if I didn't know the group.
All right. So next question here. Like, do we need to get on upgrading our merch? Like, do we need to switch vendors? Do we need to get to, like, an Etsy store? Do we need to, like, expand what we're offering? You know, I've had people ask about backpacks and morale patches and all of these crazy things that we don't offer today. Is that something you think we should focus on in 2024? Dom, what do you think? We'll start with you.
I mean, the one thing that I get asked about personally quite often is these at the back.
Can't do it.
Right? But we can't do it because we don't own the IP, guys.
That's right. So can't sell them. Like, I can make them, but I can't sell them.
Yeah, right. There you go. So, and if anyone wants them, then we can't sell them. So there you go. Draw a line under that one. Etsy, I mean, I use Etsy all the time. I think it's a really good place for that kind of thing. But, I mean, it depends what direction. I mean, I'd be very much up for getting a DFA Tom's giant face on a t-shirt.
Oh my god, I
think I'm speaking for
it's gotta be on the back.
People that watch this. Gotta be on the back.
What we need to do is we need to do like the Obama style picture of Tom's face, and then we need to do like the Reservoir Dogs, you know, is it's Reservoir Dogs, right? Like the black and white with me and you.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's funny.
Good stuff. We'll think about it. Maybe we'll do it. All right, next thing. Should we release a new album in 2024? Very time consuming, but we have two of them out. Should we think about doing a third one? What do you think, Tom?
I mean, I love them. I'm not opposed to it. I've been playing guitar. We could do a classical album.
Like, you could be like a bard.
We'll just like ring, ding, ding. We do like medieval tech and make them all made out of
medieval
wood.
Tech.
You know, they're all like pushed on wheels or like pulled by guys, you know,
like siege engines.
Yeah, like siege engines.
Like the ones got battering ram. Yeah. Oh my god.
No, I'm all for it. I think it's a really fun process, and it's great to have that soundtrack to rely. I mean, the Bat Reps work so much better because of the thematic music, and we own that. We don't have to worry about like weird DCMA takedowns that screw up our videos for no reason. Like,
right?
You know, that won't happen to us. You know,
right? When you own the music, it's true.
Yeah, and then also people that play. Like, I mean, when we play, you know, we have the little sound box in the back. We have the music going. It just really, even on the board, it makes it a lot more fun.
So. Yeah. Yep. Dom, what do you think?
I mean, I can get the Glockenspiel out and, you know.
Wow.
A wizard on the Glockenspiel.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I'd love that. I
bet
music.
Aaron
the
plays
music
drums.
Great,
so. You know, bongos, well, I mean,
listen, if Tom's on the lute and Dom's on the Glockenspiel, I mean, I guess I'll get the harpsichord. I don't know. Ooh.
I like it.
Yeah, like the Beatles.
All right, last question here. I don't even know what that is, and I'm afraid to ask based on your hand motion.
It's good. It's the 60s thing. It's good.
It's the coolest thing. Yeah.
So here's a very sort of binary question for you. You get a choice to upgrade one thing, audio or video. Which one do you choose, Tom?
Audio.
Audio. Okay.
I've been harping on audio for like 2 years.
It's fair. I'm not putting those like weird fabric panels in my studio though. It's not happening.
It's not even clear that they necessarily
do anything.
Help.
Yeah. You know, like we're talking about lab mics, right? Like that would be. It would basically either be like, you know, upgrade that sort of.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's like we've talked about extensively. Like the problem is stepping up to the next level of like audio production is so much more complex. You're talking about like multi-channel,
right?
And, right. The cost there also.
I think for what gain, you know, when you're listening to it on your phone, you know.
Yeah. There are some, I think, potential improvements we can make that are low cost. Like I was listening to a thing about audio production and it was saying the floors, you know, like you need soft materials on the floors, like a rug, or maybe we could put down some of those, like the rubber mat, you know.
We just don't have them everywhere, but we do have them around the table, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, the walls you sort of want to cut down on square angles or something. Yeah, I know there's a lot going on. But again, like at what point do you actually hear a difference? You know,
well, right. Exactly. There is a certain threshold to like how crazy you want to go. Yeah. It's interesting. Dom, what do you think? Like,
can you go to better mics?
I mean, I'm speaking from a position of just, you know, watching the channel and I mean, I don't mean this in a sycophantic way, but there's no one else in BattleTech that does what we do, right? Like in terms of the quality of the battle reports and the graphics and the audio and the video. I mean, without spending a ton of money on it and going like almost professional,
right?
Which just look at Aaron's getup behind him. Right, like the studio is a proper studio with a light show in the background. I mean, it looks
light show.
Cool. So I think what we do is pretty fantastic. So
yeah, well maybe we'll try a couple different things, Tom, with the mics.
Well, one other idea, and I think I texted you about it in the middle of the night, was around animated cuts.
That idea is never, never, ever happening. Unless I hit the Mega Millions and, you know, we can hire like a whole team of people. All right.
Well, we got to contract it.
Let's move on to Trivia Tech. Our new, as of this season of Jump Point, our new segment that everyone loves.
I am so bad at this as well.
All right. So these are all Christmas themed. It's very fun. So they're all very simple true and false questions. So the first one, true or false, on Christmas Eve in 3061, the leader of the Magistracy of Canopus gets drunk and has a dream about a mech battle. Is that true or false, Tom?
What was the year? 3061?
3061.
False.
All right, Tom.
I'm just trying to think what happens to the magistracy in 3061. So the St. Ives gets repatriated back to the Capellans. I'm going to say true.
Okay. It is in fact true. I believe it's Stackpole wrote a short story about this. That is a true fact. All right. True or false? In 3028, McGee's cutthroats sabotaged a series of LRM turrets on Christmas Eve so they would open fire on civilian infrastructure at sunrise on Christmas Day. Is that true or false, Tom?
It's got to be true.
Okay. Tom?
McGee's cutthroats.
Yeah. Mercenary unit.
I do know them, and I've never heard that story, so I'm going to say false.
It is, in fact, false. Dom is up 2-0. Tom, this is unlike you. Last time you swept.
Yeah.
All right. True or false? True or false, the elves from hell were a group of bandits known to raid on Christmas Day. True or false?
False? I've never heard of this at all.
The elves from hell.
They were a group of bandits to raid on Christmas Day. Is it true or false? Tom says true. Tom says, what'd you say, Tom? True or false? You said false, right?
I said false, yeah.
Yeah, Tom said false.
Tom, yeah, I said false as well. I've never heard of them.
It is true.
Something so dirty. Oh my God, ridiculous. Where did you get that from?
It's, guys, the only place to get Battletech information. This is Sarna. It's all on Sarna. All right, the last one, true or false. The Capellans, much like George Washington, launched an amphibious attack against the Swordsworn on Christmas Eve.
I have no idea. False? Amphibious? False.
Amphibious assault, yeah.
Sounds made up.
I'm going to say true, because I think the Capellans do have issues with them.
It is true. So it's true. It is true. Dom scores 3. Tom, you are 0-4.
Nice job.
So that is our trivia tech.
You know, can I just, another piece of trivia tech. I have never had a question right.
No.
Before
now you're dominating the trivia. It's obviously the holiday trivia. Yeah. All right. So now we're going to get into Tom's most favorite of all, the Render Blender. Let's blend this puppy. So this is the new Merlin.
Yeah.
All right. Very exciting. And I will provide a bit of holiday sneak peekery. We may or may not be doing a Merlin in Battletech very, very early in 2024. It may or may not be the first one that we do in 2024. I won't tell you which variant.
Did you do a Kodiak yet?
No, not yet. Everyone's asking. It's going to happen, and I've got the Merlin and one other, I believe, teed up, and then the Kodiak, I think, will probably be in the next batch that we do after that. I've got some patron polls up. We're waiting for the final results to come in on what they're interested in, but I have a pretty good idea. So let's take a look at this Merlin, Tom. I'm gonna go full screen on this bad boy. All right.
Yeah.
There she blows. Tell us what you think. I got three picks. Let me cycle through the pictures real quick.
Sure.
1, 2, and then 3.
Thirsty shot at the back there.
Thirsty one. So tell us what you think, Tom.
Looks great. Wow. Yeah, the Merlin. I really like the original Merlin, like, because that was one of the mechs used to play with the IWM model
with the long spindly legs.
Was it a Ralph Partha or was it IWM?
Yeah, it was IWM. Okay. Yeah, but it was. Okay. I'm pretty sure it might have been from the Ralph Partha days because it was pretty 80s tech.
Yeah. I love that. But this is a great update for it. Again, it's like the head and the shoulders are all kind of one, very squat. What is that an SRM on the chest?
It's an LRM5.
An LRM5. Okay. I was going to say, it kind of looks like...
Does it also have an SRM6 as well, I think, the Merlin?
It does not. I believe it has 2 medium lasers, a PPC, LRM5, a flamer, and a machine gun. The OG Merlin.
Right, so it's got the Judge Dredd gun sticking out of its chest on the right side. Nice.
I think that's the machine gun.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
At first, when it was a smaller pick, I thought the machine gun was like a Texas Ranger badge. I was like, this is a wild, wild West mech. But no, it's great, man. It's a really cool design because it just looks. And the Merlin's what, like a 70 tonner? Is that right?
Close. Yeah, 60.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just looks really brutish, and I like that a lot. Those, the shoulder gauntlets or epaulets, whatever they're called. Pauldrons, is that it?
Pauldrons.
Yeah, pauldrons. Yeah. But if you look, it actually extends into the underside too, into its armpit. That's a really cool design. I like that a lot.
Yeah, like super beefy joint up that joint. On the shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. So it just looks super protected. Great leg design. Can we go to that other shot? The back? I think it's the third, yeah. Like, look at the exhaust outlets.
Nice heat vents.
Are those jump jets on its calves? or just a cool design.
They are, yeah. The Merlin does jump.
Yeah.
So
super. I mean, it looks like it has, you know, Boeing 727 jet engine sticking out of its legs.
It is cool.
This might actually be a lamb. We're not sure.
Oh.
Speaking of them. Yeah.
Well, it's a weird periphery mech, so who knows?
It's awesome.
Lots of weird
Tom, what do you think? This thing's great.
Yeah, I mean, the Merlin is one of those mechs that just doesn't get enough love. It should be an iconic mech in BattleTech, I think, but it got lost in the mix because is it like the first new design mech of the, you know, like I think it came around in like 3010, right? So it looks different from all its, from like the earlier mechs.
Like an evolution.
I've always loved it. I'm the same as you. I love the Ironwind model. And I'm just delighted that they put this in the Kickstarter. I'm just glad they didn't forget it.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you go to that back shot real quick? I wanted to say, like, on the back of the head, it's got these three spots. Is that to stick, antennas in or something?
Oh, it might
never
be.
I've never seen that on any of the Macs either. That's really good.
Yeah, they do look like, that's exactly what they look like. Yeah. That's a great
Some
call
kind
out.
Of sensor array, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Stepping up the design a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
maybe
a
Shining Sword is watching this, he can let us know.
A Shimmering Sword. Okay. That's Shining.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I can't even remember.
Whoa,
most
bro.
Of my family, so. I was pretty close. I'm sorry.
Listen, worse things have been said. So I like this design a lot. It's one of those like goofy things where it has medium lasers in the arms and just the gun housings are enormous. And it was always this goofy thing in the design, and you know what? They leaned into it. They stuck with it. They didn't change it. They didn't like shrink down those arm gun barrels or whatever. So I really appreciate that. Well, listen, that wraps up our render blender. We're gonna close out this one, guys, with a rapid fire segment. All right, we're gonna close out our holiday episode with some rapid fire. Are you ready?
Go for it.
I'm ready.
All right, we're gonna go Tom and then Dom. You can't think about it, you just gotta say it.
Do it.
Do you prefer to travel or be home for the holidays?
Travel.
Travel. I've not been at home for a holiday ever. I don't think. Not since I've been an adult.
I'm a home guy, for sure.
Under the Alps.
So, on the holidays, do you prefer to eat in or eat out?
Eat in.
Eat in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it depends. It depends for me. But, like, for Thanksgiving, I'm an eat-in kind of guy. Christmas Eve, I do kind of like going out, you know, get out on the town. A little, like, New Year's Eve, I like to eat out, too. Mm-hmm. All right. So, favorite holiday meal.
Oh man, my mother-in-law, stepmother-in-law, I'm not sure what the correct terminology is. She always makes these Brussels sprouts in this, like, it's like a baked dish with like blue cheese and bacon. It's the most incredible version of Brussels sprouts it's so good, yeah. Huh. And I like a corn pudding style stuffing thing too.
Okay.
I'm a sides person, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
I've made like rib roast in the past and it's great, but like it's the sides. That's where you get all the good stuff.
All right.
And on the Christmas morning, it's like the French toast bake.
Just,
you know, I love a good I make like a Bananas Foster's one. It's really good. Yeah.
It's
all crispy and yeah, it's good. Gooey.
Sorry. Dom?
Well, like you, Aaron, I am Italian. So I'm going to go for the sweet tooth option here. And I love a panettone, eh?
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Italian, you know, Christmas cake. Absolutely exquisite.
Yeah.
So good. My aunt makes pizzelles too for Christmas.
Oh, pizzelles.
It's like the only time that
we had the
really
irons. Oh man, yeah. I gotta actually. I think my dad has them in the basement. I gotta get those out and start making them with my kids again.
They're so good. Yeah.
So
it's fun to make too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. Like I love a good rib roast. My wife cooks a great turkey. But it's like the apps for me. Like, you know, the clam dip and, you know, prosciutto and the antipasti.
Oh, the falcone clam
cheeses.
Dip.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've had it, you know.
Yeah.
We love all that stuff. That's definitely my favorite is a good antipasta spread ahead of the
remember
meal,
you used to always love the artichoke spinach dip too. That was always a classic Aaron order.
Mm.
You love that.
All right. Great. So, final rapid fire question. What is your favorite part of the holidays?
Oh, getting together with family. Yeah. Like, I like that.
Yeah. Tom?
I was going to say getting away from family. No.
burn.
They don't watch this. It's fine. We have a tradition in Britain of you always go for a very long walk on Boxing Day, and I love I'm
an avid walker. We go on a hike.
So and I always have Christmas up at my mum's, which is in the most beautiful part of North Yorkshire. It's secluded. It's very Christmassy. So we can just hike for miles, and that's just excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing I really like is the actual festiveness of it. I like seeing decorations, and it's just like a changing of seasons. Like I really like changes. I like the way people dress. I like all the fun stuff, and yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's I was going to say something similar. Like it's great. It's great because everybody, largely most people are very cognizant of the time of year and they behave different, right? People are definitely nicer, more willing to help. Like it is definitely a season of giving, and people tend to be less selfish. And I think there's just a sort of general air of just peace and, everyone's just relaxed. Right. And I really enjoy that. And I think you're right, Tom, there's that, that sort of almost rooted in tradition. I really like tradition.
It's the tradition. Yeah.
I really love the traditions. It's something to look forward to and something to pass on to the next generation. That's a really great thing. Something to share with people. All right. Well, that was,
what's your least favorite thing?
We can't.
We got a bonus question. We got a bonus question.
Oh God. We're ending on such a positive note.
Okay, fine. That's
the least favorite thing. The least favorite thing is when people are like, what do you want for Christmas? I don't want anything. Dude. I'm like, I've realized I've gotten to this age now. I'm like my dad. I'm like, I don't want anything. Don't get me anything. That's depressing.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So I don't even have to say anything.
That's right.
I've got one thing. My least favorite thing is getting on the scales on the 1st of January. Kills me every year.
You got to do it. Yeah. Do it before.
I love it. Yeah. That's too funny.
And then
you guys crack
it for
me
two
up.
Months. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, on that note, that's funny. we're going to wrap this one up. We hope everybody has a tremendous, tremendous holiday season, however you want to spend it, and hope you get a little BattleTech in on the side. A couple of things. Number one, if you're looking for last minute holiday gifts, call up Derek on his cell phone and tell him to ship stuff out right now. He's going
to
drive it to your house.
Harry's games and miniatures.
Harry's games and minis will deliver to you via sleigh on Christmas Eve. So at least that's what I'm told. But now Derek's a great guy. So if you're looking for gifts or even belated gifts, or if you want to spend some holiday cash, you can definitely head on over to Harry's Games and Minis and get all the good stuff there. Also, don't forget to subscribe, leave a comment. And let us know what you think about, things like our merch or a new album or what system to play. I love always, hearing those kinds of comments. So definitely feel free to chime in and let us know your answers to our rapid fire questions as well. But that's it. What else, Tom? What did I miss?
Become a patron. Join in the fun.
I knew I was forgetting. I don't like to ask for things around the holidays, but I will ask. Yeah. If it's one thing that I want for Christmas this year, it's for you to become a patron. so that's
Aaron
about it.
Aaron comes in on his crutches,
Tiny Tim. Yeah. Maybe Tiny Aaron.
Please,
somebody tries to hand you a turkey, and you're patron. Like, get that out of here.
Get that out of here. We want patrons, not turkey. that's funny. That's going to be one of our new t-shirts. More patrons, less turkey. With a picture of Tom's face on it.
Kicking Tiny Tim out the door.
Just booting him out the door. Like hitting him on the back of his head with a crutch. Whoa. Yeah. That's awful.
With this guy.
Bah humbug. Bah humbug indeed. All right. Well, we better shut this one down before we get in trouble again. So again, hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. Thank you so much for watching. And of course, stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death From Above Wargaming. Have a good day.